All right, good morning, everybody. We're gonna get started. All right, we're just having a few technical things going on over here. And then we're gonna get started in like 30 seconds. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good, good.
Good, my brother. I hear my brother. You got baby Caitlin. And hi, so big. Good morning, Lulu and Pastor James, Arthur, Lily, Scott, Kelly. Hey, Kelly.
Tim, she basically looks like Noelle.
And Caleb looks like his father.
Hey, there's Noelle. Okay. One young lady, Noelle.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
good catch.
Dr. Wong.
Good catch.
That was recorded. I'm talking about your child.
I saved her.
You saved her. You belong to one of those YouTube videos.
We're gonna edit that and like make that into a meme or something. Baby slipping out of your hand. All right, very cool. Let me share my screen and we'll kick it off here in just a moment here. Okay, this is a sweatshirt that I want. Do you see that?
No.
Okay, I didn't see the sweatshirt that I want. Yeah. I'm going to share that one. Let me find what page I'm on.
Hey.
Can you guys see my screen here now? Can you hear? Can you see this screen?
Yes.
All right. All right. Amen. All right. Well, good morning. Keep your masks on in here, Bethany. We're doing masks in here. I designed this little slide. Not that I designed this slide, but you know. Do you know what city that is? There's one iconic building in there. And that is like a Space Needle, but it's like way taller.
Hey, Pastor Alex, is that Toronto perchance?
Yes, this is Tehran. Tehran. So I just thought that was fitting for the missions concept for us as we go into this. Okay, let me start with a word of prayer, and then we're going to go through last week's homework, okay, from Dr. Chang. So would we, could we just go to the Lord together and let's praise him and engage one another with what we've thought and prayed through this week. Father, we thank you this morning as we gather. It is a privilege. And even as our brother Scott recognized the city of Tehran, we want to remember this morning that there are believers all around the world that are in such great persecution. When we ask you for our daily bread, sometimes we think of the new car that we want or the new shoes as part of our daily bread. But there are believers in the world where they're literally praying for their basic necessities, and they are hiding under the weight of persecution and still loving and eager to gather with one or two other believers to worship our King. So Lord, we want to not take that for granted this morning. You have given us so much here, but may you not allow all of the comforts, Lord, of our surroundings diminish our eagerness to gather together and to worship the King. Lord, today we want to continue in this Sunday school course of discovering your heart for missions, and help us understand that. Help us understand your story, because too often, Lord, we make our life about our story, but perhaps, Lord, you can slowly reveal to us that You've created us to be a part of your greater story. And once we understand that, Lord, I pray that your spirit would lock that in, seal that in for our lives, that we need to be living with that type of purpose for you. Thank you, Father, this morning. And we just want to praise your great name. And thank you for being in our midst, both in person and virtually. And we just want to honor you with our class today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so this was from Arthur last week. He gave you all a bit of homework, right? He said, pray about how God may want to get you involved in missions. And maybe in one of the six ways, to learn, to pray, to send, to go, welcome, mobilize. And he said to write down your prayer and be prepared to share that prayer with someone in this class. It doesn't have to be long. He said that Cindy, I wasn't here for the end of last week's class, but Cindy said ask for a midweek reminder. So he sent that midweek. He says, consider yourself reminded. I wasn't on that email, but he forwarded it to me. And so why don't you get around each other and one or two people, go ahead and just share for about 3 minutes or something. What are one of the ways that you prayed about? And if you didn't pray, that's okay. You can be honest. I didn't know about homework. And but when I think of missions, this is what I think about. You can share that. All right. All right. Can anyone share just one thing that you just thought was compelling or was, interesting in your conversations with your group? Can someone just share one thing? Okay, great. Okay, good. Thanks for the engagement, everybody. Good. Okay. All right, check this out. Let me ask you guys a question then. I think that's going to be an ongoing concept. Raise your hand if you hate missing the beginning of a movie. Who's missed the beginning of a movie before? Raise your hand. And who actually hates that or doesn't like it? Can you explain why you don't like missing the beginning of a movie, right? Some people have different reasons, right? If you go to the movie theater, you may have a different reason. Why don't you like to miss the beginning of a movie?
Because I have a fear of missing out.
You have a fear of missing out. Okay, so you have FOMO, okay? All right. Okay, Frank has FOMO, as do many of us. Okay. So you're missing out, so you just have a fear of missing out. What are the other reasons why people do not like to miss the beginning of a movie?
Maybe missing the plot. The plot maybe helping establish the beginning, miss the plot.
Okay, so you miss the plot. Okay, good.
Because I feel like I'm not, I missed like the full experience and I feel like I'm only getting part of it. And that's
right. You know, especially if you pay for a movie theater ticket, right? You're like, dude, I paid like $14 for this. I didn't get like $2 worth of my movie, right? Or some movies have great movie entrances, right? Or movie introductions. And sometimes the movie starts with such a key kind of unlocking of the whole movie. And if you miss that, you walk in, especially if you walk in, like, I'm not talking about 5 minutes. I'm talking about 30 minutes in. Have you ever gone to a movie theater 30 minutes in and you're like, what did I miss? Where is this going? You guys with me on that? Right? How about the end of a movie? Who has seen a movie but not seen the ending? Okay, Bex, you have, right? Or you're watching through a TV series. You know, a lot of you guys watch Netflix or something. You're watching through a movie and you don't get to watch the ending. How does that feel? Anybody?
Even worse.
Even worse. Right? Because you're left on a cliffhanger and you're like, what really happens? Okay. Does anybody have the habit to watch just the middle chunks of the movie a lot and not? Okay. I do. If Beck says that I do, only because back when we have cable or something, you know, or we had like some of the movie channels, I don't mind watching the middle of a movie that I already know the whole story, right? And I'll watch from the middle and I'm like, oh, I like this part. I don't have to rewatch the intro and the end. I just like whatever's happening in the middle. But anybody in the habit of just watching movies in the middle and never caring about the beginning or the end? Does anybody do that? No one does. Nobody does.
Only if it's unavoidable, like a power failure or brakes or something.
Right. Power failure, or your wife's nagging you to go clean that garage that you were supposed to clean 2 weeks ago. It's like, dude, come on, honey. Like, I want to get to the end of the movie. But you can't because your wife is laying down the law on you. You got to do that, right? Nobody will build a habit to read a book from the middle and just read it over and over again. But you know what I think is interesting is as believers, we oftentimes read the Bible that way. We read the Bible just from the middle. We read all the middle parts, and sometimes we actually miss what really is the whole introduction of the movie, the story. Right. Conversely, if you thought that it was worse to not watch the end of a movie, oftentimes how many people, you know, raise their hand and say, I love to spend time in the last book of the Bible to see how God's story ends. A lot of times we spend time in the middle, and someone once compared it to trying to put a puzzle together because you have all these puzzle pieces. But what's the most important thing of a puzzle? What's the most important thing of a puzzle, guys?
The last piece that you put in.
Okay, the corner, the last piece that you put in, but how would you know what to put in? How would you know what the corners are? The most important piece is the bottom top. Right? Because when you see the box top, you see what the puzzle is supposed to be, and that's how you know the corners, and that's how you can build the edges, and that's how you can put the inside together. I think a lot of times we have all these pieces of God's words and principles and these concepts, but we miss the box top. We miss the intro. So sometimes we're scratching our heads, we're a little bit confused, and we're wondering, where is this going? Is it just about doing these things? Is it just about living a certain way? And yet we miss the intro, right? So this morning, I think that's what Arthur was doing last week. And I wanted to go there one more time. And for the sake of time, I'm going to read it for us. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Feel free to annotate here if you want. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay, someone in their testimony wrote that they like to play with bugs, right? And isn't it really cool that God created all those little creeping things that creeps on the earth, right? So God loves those little creepy bugs. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, right? So male and female are created in God's image. And God blessed them. Okay, feel free to annotate. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Okay, Arthur highlighted that last week. And subdue it and have dominion over the fish, the birds, every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its root, you shall have them for food. So we were all vegans before, right? And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and everything creeps on everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. This is when God said it's very good. I mean, feel free to make some annotations, but I made some. I think it's really, well, where'd that go? My words, okay. Right? In the beginning, there is no other creation that God says, I'm making it in my image. Nothing else. So, you know, when you feel low about yourself and when you feel kind of like schmucky and you feel like, eh, I'm so weird and strange and gosh, like, do I even deserve to live? Sometimes you may feel that way. God made you in his image. There's something about the way God made us, male and female, that is in God's image. Somehow, that's really hard to understand. If you can try to put your heads around on this morning. And then God said, Trinity here, after our likeness. Ooh, you like that little insert of the Trinity in there? God didn't say after just my likeness. He said after our Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let them have dominion. And then Arthur brought us to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But I wanted to talk about this last week. We didn't get a chance to do that because I don't want to interrupt his flow. But let me ask you a question. What do you think God's plan would be? Or why? Why do you think God has this plan? That he made us, even in our worst day, okay? When you feel like you're in your worst day, that you're made in the image of God. And Arthur was telling us last week that part of God's, you know, God blessed them. Look at verse 28, right? God blessed them. If I annotate here, God blessed them, right? And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, okay? So there's this picture where God wants his image bearers from the very beginning, from the moment he created us. And Arthur asked a question, what is the first command that God gave to us? And it is to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth. So I want you to ask yourself a question. Why do you think God would want image bearers? We are his only image bearers. We bear his image. Why do you think God's plan would be for us, after he blessed us, to fill the earth and multiply with image bearers? And I'll just open that up. Anybody have a thought or a quote, concept to that? What do you guys think? Well, anybody? No idea, any stab? You can just take a stab in the dark of God wants the world to be filled with people who bear his image.
You know? So I'm just thinking of like the image that's reminded is like, you know, as we bear his image, it's like his glory filling the face of the earth, you know, his glory reflected in his creation.
Oh, okay. His glory reflected in his creation, filling the earth.
Right. So it's really his.
Okay.
His image.
All right. So he's filling the world with his image, right? So that's good for God. Do you guys think that's any good for us? Is that good for the world?
Sounds pretty vain.
Oh man, is God like kind of narcissistic here? Is God just preoccupied with his own glory? Like, what is that? So let's go to the end of the Bible, right? We said, you know, Christians spend a lot of time in the middle of the Bible, hardly ever going to the beginning. So we just went to the beginning, the very first command. Let's go to the end of the Bible. And the end of the Bible says in Revelation chapter 7, after this, I looked, okay, this is the Apostle John, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, from all peoples, all languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out, all these people that no one could number, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, everybody is crying out with a loud voice, standing before the throne of our King, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits onto the throne and onto the Lamb. And to the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? The God who sits on the throne is also the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Jesus, good, right? The Lamb that was slain. And in Revelation 5, it says, and they all sang this new song. They're singing a new song. There's churches named New Song today. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, that's referring to Jesus, for you are slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe. There it is again. And language and people and nation. And you have made all these people that no one could count from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. You've made them into a kingdom and priests to our God. Right? And they shall reign on the earth. Wow. So what is God's plan for the world to be filled with image bearers? Cindy was already onto something, that somehow there's this aspect where everyone is so glad, rejoicing in God. There's a picture of somehow when we are able to magnify his name, we're singing. That's why music is such a big deal to God. God hardwired it in us to want to sing for something, right? As we hear them outside practicing, yeah. How great thou art,
yeah.
How great thou art. I can't wait to be out there to sing that. My arms are going to be lifted up. Join me in lifting up our arms, because our body wants to move when we sing. Our body wants to just reach out. We're hardwired to sing, to want to glorify something, right? And then let's go to the middle. Let's look at these middle passages. In Psalms, it says, all the kings of the earth will give thanks to you. All the kings one day will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth, and they will sing of the ways of the Lord. Look at same concept of the sing. For great is the what? Great is the what? The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. They're singing about how great is the glory of the Lord. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, for the earth will be filled. Okay, it will be one day, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the what?
Lord.
Glory of the Lord. Okay. The glory of the Lord, the earth one day will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee, O God. And let the peoples what? Praise thee. Let the nations what? Be glad, rejoice, and sing. Another thing here, for joy. So there's a picture of people praising God, and as we praise God, there's all the nations, look here, all the nations and are glad. There is rejoicing. There is joy as we're singing, right, to the Lord. From the rising sun, oh, I love this in Malachi. From the rising sun to its setting, my name, whose name? Whose name is this? God's name. From the rising of the sun to its setting, God's name will be what? Great. Among the nations. We see it again, nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to whose name? To God's name, right? And a pure offering for my name, right there again, will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. We saw the beginning that God's first command to us was to fill the earth as people who bear God's image. We go to the end. The story ends with all the people called of his name that are singing, worthy is the name of God, glory to the name of God. And there's so much joy and there's so much gladness. There's so much satisfaction at the end as we glorify God's name. We sing praise to him. That's the beginning and the end. That's the book. And in the middle, we see all these pictures sprinkled about. And I didn't have room to put what Jesus said. When Jesus says to his Father, I have accomplished what you have sent me here for, to bring, he says, glory to the Father. That's what I was sent here for. To bring glory to you. So we see beginning is a story of glory. The end is a story of glory. And it's people specifically singing and worshiping. And when we do this, there is gladness. There is joy. So Cindy was onto something where she says, maybe this meaning of filling the whole earth with people who bear God's image is that God's glory is reflected upon us. But I said, that's good for God because it fills the earth with image bearers. But I asked the question, is it good for us? And what you see from beginning to middle to end, right, is that it is good for us. Somehow, if we understand what glory is, the glory of God, somehow that is really good for us. Okay, so let's think about that. How is that good for us? How do I erase this whole thing? Clear. There you go. Here, I'm gonna draw. Close this, and then I can move on. Right? Okay. Okay, that's what I said. We studied in the Sermon on the Mount a few weeks ago, and we asked a question. What is, in my improper English, I like to use this word, so I put in quotes for Cindy, because Cindy can, it might be fingers on the chalkboard for Cindy. Yes. I know certain things, we'll get her. So I make this word up, goodest, okay? What is the goodest good? What is the goodest blessing, right? Who wants good? Who wants good? Raise your hand. At home, who wants good? Who wants blessing? Do we want blessing? What is the goodest good? What is the goodest, the greatest blessing that God could give to us? And we talked about this a few weeks ago. What?
God himself.
God himself. If God can think, what is the greatest good, the goodest good, the biggest blessing I can give to my people, created my image? He would say, I have to give myself. I have to give myself to them. What does that mean that he would give himself? What does that mean that he would give us himself? Is that Jesus dying on the cross? I don't think so. What does it mean that God would give us himself? What is it that he's giving us of himself? What do you think? He's going to be good today. It's
going to be awesome. Oh, Pastor Alex, that's interesting. You said that it's not, you don't think it is him dying on the cross for us. Because normally when I think of giving up of yourself, it would be Jesus dying on the cross, giving his life for my life. Mm-hmm. No, I just thought that was interesting.
Well, I could be wrong. But you know, pastors never wrong. So what does that make you think? Because we always go to the cross. Jesus died for us. Jesus died for us. I'm gonna preach a message on that today.
Because that's what we hear the most. I mean, nothing wrong with that, obviously. That's all I hear, right?
And we see the Bible, it's like Jesus died, Jesus died, Jesus died. But what if Jesus was still on the cross? What if his bones are there, still there? Every religion has the bones of their founder of their religion, and there's a shrine around them. And even after a while, the bones don't even matter because it's not even about the founder of the religion. Buddhism, people don't celebrate, you know, what's his name? Ashkarpi. Whatever, right? Like people don't celebrate always the founder. Because it's just a shrine. They're dead. Pastor James said that. Why on some crosses in the Catholic Church is Jesus hanging on the cross still? Why should he be there? Because if he's still on the cross and he's just dead, what does that do for us? Is that the biggest thing that God can do is die for us? Mabel says no. What does it mean that the goodest gift, the goodest blessing that God can give is himself? If it's not dying for us, what is it? Mabel, you said no? You want to take a stab at it?
I'll take a...
Mabel said something, huh?
He rose and he's alive.
Okay, he rose and he's alive? Yes. Bob?
I'll take a stab. That we get to have a relationship with him and enjoy that relationship.
That we get to have a relationship.
That we get to enjoy the relationship that we have with God.
Enjoy the relationship that we have with God. Anybody else have thoughts?
I think of a song that I like a lot. Psalm 16 says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy."
Yeah. In your presence there is fullness of joy.
So yeah, it's for me the goodest.
Yeah, the goodest. Yes, say it. That's improper English. I love it when you speak improper. Like me.
Yeah, it would just be God's like dwelling presence with us daily. You
know? God's presence with us. And what is it about his presence? Is it just that it's warm? Is it comforting? Because of life, you know, like, is God cuddly? Is his presence inviting? What is
it? I think for me, it's like what I've been learning about his presence recently is that it satisfies completely.
Okay.
Because I find that in my life, I do have like many areas where I think there is lack, you know? Yeah. So I'm finding like, complete satisfaction.
Right. So there's a satisfaction in his presence. Right. I'll tell you something that I didn't get to preach on. Like about 3 weeks ago, I was preaching on just the eternal hope. And I just couldn't even have time to get this message, this part of the text. So I skipped it. It's in 1 Corinthians. And, you know, it's talking about like worship and prophecy and tongues. And he says, where was I? It's in 13, and we're preaching on love, right? And it says, love never ends, prophecies will end, they'll pass away, tongues will cease, knowledge will pass away, not for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass, right? Then he says this, for right now, today, we see in a mirror dimly, and their mirrors in those days, I was going to show a picture, they're just polished bronze. They didn't have glass mirrors like we do. They're just polished bronze. And so most of the mirrors were dim. And so you only see things dimly is what it's saying. And then it says, but then one day, we will see him face to face. Now I only know in part, but then in the future, I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. There is something about God's glory and his presence that has a lot to do with being known, fully known. Tim Keller has a great quote. I won't even go into it if we don't have time. And he talks about the difference between being loved and known. Pastor James, in his testimony, talked about he wasn't known. You see, if you're loved, but you're not really known, it's not satisfying. Like people just say, I love you, but you don't know me. You don't know how bad I am. You don't know my problems. You don't know my insufficiencies. You just say you love me. But if someone knows you and knows all your issues, but doesn't love you, it creates fear. They know all your problems, but you can't sense that they love you. God fully loves you and fully knows you. And the Bible is saying more and more, one day, we're going to get to know God fully the way he knows us. I think Cindy was really onto something, that there's a sense that satisfies us to know God and to be in his presence, because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. I want to share with you this quote by Dr. Hawthorne, okay, Stephen Hawthorne. He says, glory is relational beauty. Okay, so glory has to do with relationships. And it's the beauty in relationships that every person's heart longs to have and even enter. Okay, we love. Right? So glory is something that, this is my phrase, and I've had it for a long time, that I realized from scripture that we are made, we're wired, we're hardwired to desire glory. Right? We want to find someone great. Or we want to find greatness in ourselves. That's why for people who love sports like us, like some of us, I love sports because you love the glorious athletes of sports. Michael Jordan, Kobe, and Michael LeBron. Like Tom Brady. Like you're just like, these are the greats. Like who's a soccer great? Mia Hamm. Right? And you're just like, these are the greatest, like Ronaldo, like the greatest athletes. And you're like, people want to clamor for greatness. And we long to know greatness. That's why we want to buy their jerseys. We want to, you know, we want to touch them. We want to know them somehow. And if we don't know them, we want to find glory in ourselves. We want to be great. We're made for glory. The word glory in scripture, he says, refers to the essential worth, the essential beauty, or the intrinsic, the inherent value of people, of even created things, but of course, of God himself. That's glory. So what is it saying? Glory is all who God is. Glory is God's value in and of himself. God has no need. If we think God needs us for something, we have too high of a view of ourselves. God created us for something. I think God loves to share his glory. And he made people in his image too long for that to taste that. He made us so that there's nothing that would satisfy us. Cindy used the word satisfy. And I think there's nothing, there's no glory. We were rooting for the Dodgers hardcore and the Dodgers lost last night. And you're like, that was stupid. That was so unsatisfying. And the Lakers, they think they built a great team. They're going nowhere this year. Nowhere. But we wanted to go somewhere. And everything here that we try to glory in, even our wives or husbands. Some people take so much glory in their children. They want their children to be who they never were. I'm so satisfied with my children. I'm sorry to tell you, you're going to be let down in the things that you hold dear, that you think are going to satisfy you. Because God made you to only find satisfaction in Him, in His glory. The Hebrew word for glory means weight. It means substance. It means there's something here. And at the same time, it's brilliant and it's splendid and it's beautiful. It's radiant. It's something that has weight. It's something that won't, I preached on this a few weeks ago, it won't fall through. It won't fall through. You can count on it. That's the Hebrew word for glory. And so God's glory is something that's so much weight, so much substance, it will never let you down. It will only fully satisfy. And yet what Cindy is saying is that somehow I have to learn that because it's hard to be satisfied in God. I want to find satisfaction with something else. I want to find glory in something else. Right? And so when we think of glory in that way, God created us with this image that bears His glory. But why do you think we struggle so much? Because there is something in the middle of the story that messes it all up. The beginning of the story begins with image of God's glory to fill the earth. Being so full and glad of God's glory. The end of the story ends with God's glory and us rejoicing in God's glory. The middle says that it's going to happen, and something happens in the middle that causes Cindy and you and I to struggle to be satisfied with God's glory. What happened in the middle? This is where we read a lot of the Bible. Sin. Right? Yes, that's right. Sin, Bob. We fell. We chose to not be satisfied in God. We chose to not. And in someone's testimony, they're going to say, when I was reading about Adam and Eve, you know, someone's testimony was like, why did they make that mistake? I wouldn't have made that mistake. Like, man, I should have been there. Because I would have been satisfied with God. I would have just, thank God, it's everything. But there's something that causes us to choose something else. Even though the picture is that we would praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. And let all the nations, every people, every tongue, tribe, nation, ethnicity, be glad and sing for joy. The greatest blessing people can have is to know God. And because something happened in the middle, we need to be made whole with God. And as Cindy said, to be fully satisfied with God. We're on it. Now we have to be on a journey to find it. Because sin is there and infected and poisonous. Right? When Arthur gave us the Tower of Babel, and Ryan said that they didn't want to disperse. Okay? The whole earth had one language, the same words. Arthur was like, we gotta spread, we gotta disperse. And verse 4, right, they said, hey, let's make bricks. I mean, men are smart, they didn't have bricks at that time, so let's make bricks. and burn them. Dude, you're so smart, people. Like, this is like AR at that time. Okay, this is like virtual reality. This is Oculus at that time. Like making bricks, okay? Because men are smart, because we're created in the image of God. Okay, so like animals don't go like my dog Rusty's not like, let me make a brick and make fire and burn it. And Rusty's not there in the middle of the night going like, who am I? Like, was I made for something more than like licking my crotch? You know? That's all he does. Like, is this what I was made for? No, he's made for nothing more but to lick his own behind. Right? He's not like, let's make bricks, let's make an Oculus. VR. We made bricks. We're burning them to make them strong. Like brick by brick. And mortar. And they said, let's build ourselves a city and a tower with so high to reach the heavens. So that, and we focused on last week, so that we don't get dispersed over the face of the earth. We didn't focus on another thing that was mentioned in scripture. What does it say? They wanted to make a name for themselves. You see, this is man. And when sin is there and the choice is there, we want to make glory for ourselves. We want something else that satisfies us. We want to find something. We want to achieve something that will satisfy us. We want to make something great of ourselves. See that? But the next chapter after, the Lord said to Abram, because he chose Abram. He says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And if you don't remember when I went through this series of talking about covenants, and I talked about when God told Abram to go from your country and all your people and your father's house, that means I want you to go and leave everything that is comfortable and secure. Everything that you know brings you comfort, secure, everything that you guys have as people you built up for yourself. Because that's what we're always trying to do. We're trying to build up for the next generation, right? We're trying to make sure the next generation is better and we're saving up money, we're leaving an inheritance. We want to build up. And Abram's living in this comfort and security, financial security. And God says to him, and he sees something in Abram, and he says, go leave it all. And Abram was willing to do that. And so God says to him, and I will make you a great nation. Whoa, this is different. Abram didn't say, I'm going to make myself great. I will leave everything that's great that I know. So God says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. We're going to talk about this in about 5 weeks, too, the name, this issue of name, where God says, I will make your name great. In the chapter before, people are saying, let us make a name great for ourselves. Here, God says, oh, let me make your name great. But here's why. So that, what does it say, right? What does it say?
It will be a blessing.
So that you, right? I thought you had to answer because you're like, yeah. Right? So that you will be a blessing. We are so privileged because God loves to make our names great. For a reason. See, it's very subtle. When you don't need to make the name great for yourself, but you're willing to follow God. You're willing to step out. And Abram's known as this man of faith. That when God says, leave all your security, he leaves it. And there's something so special that when we walk in faith, God says, I will make your name great. When I choose to make your name great, your name will be great. But I don't make your name great for no reason. I make your name great so that you will be a blessing. What is the greatest blessing that you could be? What is the greatest blessing that you could give? We answered it already. What is the greatest blessing that God can give to us and we can give to others? God himself. To know the value, the worth, the beauty of having a relationship with God. The value, the worth of God himself, and to know him and to have a relationship with him. That is, to be in his presence is the greatest blessing that we could give. And Abram was called to do that. And did that end? Did that covenant end? We talked about conditional and unconditional blessings. Do you remember if Abram's blessing was a conditional or unconditional covenant? I'll just tell you, it was unconditional. There's no condition. You don't have to do something to do that. God just says, I will, I will, I will. Look at it. I will make you great. I will bless you. I will make your name great. So that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed through you. And from Abram, his name was changed to Abraham, came the nation Israel. Did this covenant end with Israel like other covenants? Did this? Kai said no. Anyone else? But isn't Jesus, didn't Jesus start a new covenant? Remember we talked about this? The covenant that was ended with Israel was Moses. But who is Jesus from? Because who Jesus is from affects us today. Because we are children of Jesus, right? We are of the kingdom of Jesus. But where did Jesus come from? Look at the genealogy of Jesus. What's the book that gives the genealogy of Jesus? Matthew. Because Matthew's name is Levi. Levi was written to the Jews. Think of Levi jeans. Levi jeans. That's a Jew. Okay? My jeans today are Levi's. Okay? These are Jewish jeans. I only wear Jewish jeans. None of that fancy, what are those gene names? Religion, true religion. It's not true religion. There's no gene that can be true religion. Only Levi. Only Levi.
One and only Levi.
Levi gave the genealogy. Look at this. Right in chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of who? Abraham. Bang. Through Abraham, all of the families of the earth, every nation will be blessed. We were called under the same covenant of Abraham to bring a blessing to the whole world. We are blessed to be a blessing. Right? Oh, I did put that verse in there. This is what Jesus says. I glorified you on earth, Father. I've given and accomplished the work you have given me to do. And what was the work? What was the work that you wanted me to do, Father? I manifested your name. Oh, you seeing the hints here? You seeing the linkage through all of the scriptures? Look at that. I glorify, Jesus said, you. The work you've given to me to do. What is the work? I manifested what? Your name. That you gave me out of the world. I wanted everyone to know about you. That's the greatest blessing that we can give. You guys with me? So today I wanted to help us as we kick off this missions course to know that this story is God's story. Let's say that together. This story is God's story. Let's say it again. This story is God's story. And he calls us, he created us to be a part of his story. His story. His story. History. History. History is his
story.
I just made that up right now, actually. Is it? Okay. Maybe I should. Maybe it's in there. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for today. I want to give so much more time for expression of thought and dialogue, but maybe not everyone's warmed up this morning, and we're amped up to get ready to just magnify your name today. We're hearing the worship team practice outside. We're hearing the music. We're hearing the song, and we're so ready to just lift your name up today, God. It's going to be an amazing day. This activity is going to be packed, and everyone's going to have masks, and it'll be safe. So it'll be okay. But we just through the masks, we want to sing and rejoice and be glad in you, Lord. And these lives that are being baptized today, they are people that you've called out to be a part of your story. And their journey will be a story like ours. And we are blessed to be a blessing. And the greatest blessing is to know you and to know your worth, to know your value, to know your beauty, and to be in relationship with you. And that we can have a chance to bless someone else with that. Oh, Lord, we want to do that. So set us off on this mission course, Lord. We thank you so much. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys can hang around and talk. I got to meet with the baptism folks today.
Did you like Texas?
Dude, I got this morning. I'm so sorry.
It's just so
dude, do whatever you want, man. I don't care. I mean, dude, I don't even care.
And then we'll have you
Run that by PJ.
I was texting on this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm on. Okay.